Good to see all of you this morning. Why don't you turn to Acts 16 and we'll read verses 25 through 29. Actually through 32. I'll start with 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed.
And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here."
And he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas,
and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Amen.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and his all that were in his house.
And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway.
When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the word we have in our hands. We thank you for the opportunity we have to read and study it, think about it, reason on it, and be blessed by it. I pray that you'll give me a freedom and ease to teach your word as it ought to be taught, and that it will be a blessing to someone here.
Amen.
Fill me with thy spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about the prayers of Paul, and this is still in Acts. We saw when he got saved, he was praying. Now, I think Paul had been praying a long, long time. I think he was a faithful Jew, and he spent his time in prayer, as well as doing all the sacrifices and trying to live by the law. But this is a new thing, a different thing, because this God who he had been struck down by on the Damascus Road, he gave him his name, Jesus. "Who are you persecuting?" "Jesus. Who are you that's knocking me down on this road?" And "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." So all of a sudden, he's converted. He believes it right then. And I can't blame him. a bright light knocks you off your horse and you're blinded. And here's some being speaking to you. Wow, that was something else. Well, in chapter 16, we find another place where Paul is praying. And he's in jail. Now, I have no idea, and I didn't even try to look, or I didn't even try to guess, what the difference in the years was between Acts 9 and Acts 16. About a few years, though, because he's not with Barnabas at the time. He's with Silas. And they're in jail because they've been preaching. And they're going back to preach in all these cities, reaching the Gentiles. And they're in jail, and here's what it says. At midnight. Do you ever have people that just have to get up and walk and talk at midnight? You know people that have to play their instruments or practice their instruments at midnight? How about people that pray out loud? You know, I don't even know the man's name now, but I was told about him from my family. He was like a uncle or a cousin, an older man. And as far as I know, I never met him. But they said when he would pray, old uncle something, he would go down in one of these draws. Now, I lived on a farm that was split by the Lampasas River. And so we had creek beds coming into it on the side. So it was great to grow up in. It was a great place to climb and run and whatever. Well, he had certain places in those creeks when he's not around anybody, and he's out there shouting to God. Lord God Almighty! And they can hear him all across the country, you know. But he was one of those loud talking. When he went out, he didn't do it in his house. He didn't do it down in a little bitty room. He went way out in one of these hollows going down to the river, and he prayed out loud. Well, I don't remember anybody praying in jail, except whenever some of us preachers came to preach at the jail. But here it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And notice the interesting part about that, the prisoners heard them. Now, I don't know what you think about your praying. I don't know how comfortable you are talking to God or how you think other people would judge you or whatever. But a lot of people don't even like to pray aloud, especially when there's somebody else around. And I personally talk to God. Sometimes I talk in my mind. Sometimes I talk with my mouth. I'm driving down the road and somebody says, who's he talking to? Yeah. Well, I'm telling the Lord about something that just happened or is going to happen or whatever, and I feel comfortable doing that. Well, my old uncle, he felt comfortable getting out there in the middle of what he thought was away from everybody and hollering up at God, you know, that he could hear him. I know some people think, well, my prayers are not much good. They don't get past the ceiling here. But you just might be surprised. You might be surprised. I'm amazed. I'm continually amazed, and it doesn't seem to cease or get less that God pays attention to my prayer. You ever think about that?
Thank you, Lord.
Who are you for God to pay attention to your prayer?
Amen.
That is an amazing thing to me. I feel that's privileged. That's privileged. That he would want my opinion. He says, Paul tells us, let your requests be made known unto God. He didn't say they were all spiritual or they were all, you know, good or right or educated or whatever, but let your requests be made known unto God. If God thinks it's bad for you, he won't give it to you. And if God answers you no, you got your answer. God ain't paid attention. Well, here's Paul and Silas. Now, they've evidently been beaten. And I don't know about Silas right now. I don't remember. But Paul is a Roman citizen, born a Roman citizen. Didn't have to buy it. He was born a Roman citizen. That's pretty high political statue he had. And these guys to beat him openly with him not being condemned before the law, woo, that's some problems. Well, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises. Now, that sounds like a family altar program. We did this with our kids from the time they were really small and up until all of them left the house. Every morning, we read a portion of the Bible, and we sang some choruses or hymns, and we had prayer. And we did it all the years. And I think it was a beautiful thing. Well, I think I probably got it from Lester Roloff, probably listening to him, and that I thought that was a good idea. I don't remember a lot of other people saying to do that, but Roloff did. Have a family altar. Have a family altar. And so we did. I thought it was a beautiful thing. Well, now here they are. They're in prison. Now, I get calls all the time about people crying for their condition. They are mad. They are upset. They think God has not treated them right. And you know, why don't you tell God that? No sense talking to me. You might ought to tell God that. And of course, God will come back with, well, I'm not saying I'm like God, but when my kids cried for something, they didn't get it. That may sound cruel to you.
It was cruel.
But if you cried for it, you didn't get it. I just don't like crying, whiny people. Are you a crying, whiny person?
Amen.
Watch out.
Amen.
Here they are, and they're not crying. They might have cried some tears when they put those stripes on their backs and threw them in jail, and I don't think they handled them real sweet in those days. Do you? When they went through you in jail, man, they beat you up and threw you around. Those bullies had a real good time with jail. In fact, jail is not a nice place to be now. With all the guards and with all the protections and with all the cameras, it's still not a good place to go. There's some tough people there. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. I think that's beautiful. It's an encouragement to me. He said, I was saved from the mouth of the lion. I believe he was saved out of the Colosseums. Somehow God delivered him, and I don't know how exactly he did it, but in any way, he has a testimony like that. Anyway, they prayed, sang praises to God, and here's the important thing about that, the prisoners heard them. There wasn't a silent prayer. They're praying out loud, maybe like my old uncle. Oh, Lord. I don't know. But the prisoners heard him. That's interesting to me. The prisoners heard him. The prisoners heard them. You ever thought maybe that somebody ought to hear you? They ought to hear your testimony. They ought to hear your testimony. We keep it shut too often. We don't want to be causing trouble. We don't want to have somebody have a down thing on us. We don't want to put a downer on people's days. So we sort of keep our mouths shut. And yet God sent us to proclaim. You know? Well, that's what they did. They went in there to preach. They got all whipped up and put in jail. And so while they got in there, they prayed and sang praises. And who heard him? A whole bunch of sinners. How about that? You get a nice crowd at a jail. I used to preach in jails a lot. It wasn't like today. They've got it so regulated, and so it's not even hardly worth doing. But I used to. I would go into a town preaching revival meeting, and they would invite me to the jail, and they'd bring every prisoner they had in there, and I had a captive audience. They couldn't run, they couldn't get up, they couldn't make a noise, they couldn't do a lot of things, and I just preached the gospel to them. And of course, lots of times you got professions of faith. Sometimes they didn't mean anything, sometimes they did. We got a guy coming up here, going to start here this coming Friday. He was in the jail, and that's where somebody got to him. He listened, and he got converted. And I've known several evangelists myself in my lifetime that were converted while they were in prison. Willie Cosby went to jail, and he's with an old drunk, and the old drunk says, boy, you better get saved. You're going to end up like me. And he went out and went to the first church he saw. And he got saved. And you know Willie, he was a rascal, man. He was a rascal. I loved him as a good friend. But he was a rascal. You had to put up with some things to be around Willie Cosby. And yet he put the gospel out all over the world. He really did. No telling how many. And he's the one that first recommended me to see Brother Spurgeon. He said, I got this guy. You're going to love him, Lindell. And I do love him. It just took me a lot longer time to go around because Willie died before we got together. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Now, what kind of prisoner is that?
Not normal.
Not normal. No, no, no. These guys are in there crying or they're cussing or they're fighting or whatever, and they're just in bad attitude. But not these. They're whipped unjustly. They're thrown into jail unjustly, illegally. And what are they doing? They're not crying for God to do this, that, or the other thing. I don't know how they prayed. But you know what they're doing? They're praying to God and they're singing praises. Can you sing praises when you got a little headache? Can you sing praises when everybody doesn't do what you want them to do?
Yeah. Come on.
Some of the most spoiled, rotten people I have ever met are born-again Christians.
True.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen or oh me. The prisoners heard them. They're praising God. They're thanking God. Can you imagine a guy sitting in a prison cell? And Paul tells you, when you're going to read it in these other prayers, he tells you when you pray, you give thanks. So I'm thinking Paul and Silas are thanking God. Well, were they still saved? They're in a prison. They've been beaten. They've been abused. Were they still saved? Of course they were. So they're thanking God. What about you? So you don't get your way. Are you still saved? Your sin's still forgiven? You are still on the road to heaven? Jesus still is your Lord?
Amen.
Wow! I think you got something to thank God about.
Amen.
Hey, all I got to do is look and say, my sins are gone. They're buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more.
Amen.
I don't know how many times I have prayed to have something, God, to forgive me of a sin, and then a day or two later I start praying about it again. Well, that's not believing what God said He'd do with it. He put it in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. You don't need to pray about it 1,500 times if God's ever heard you once. Here they are, they're in jail, and they're thanking God. And they're singing praises. What kind of nuts do we have here? They're singing praises. We got a Mexican pastor that got thrown in jail probably just because of some political person didn't like him, and they have a power to do some things and whatever. And he spent 4 years in jail. You know what he did? He started churches. He preached the gospel. He got some people saved. As I understand, I think there's one warden that got saved. That's a little different attitude than most people that... I'm innocent. I didn't do it. Amazing. They prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard him. Sang praises unto God. I really think one of our problems is we don't thank God enough.
Amen.
You are the richest people. I know you don't believe me, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. You are the richest people that ever lived. You're just common workers. Nobody in here comes from a rich family that I know. I sure didn't come from a rich family. Man, mine lost everything in the Depression, and they were really tight when they come out of that Depression. My daddy's lunch sack. He didn't throw his lunch sack away. He folded it up and put it in his back pocket. And the next day he used that lunch sack. He might have got a year out of one sack. And some of the guys would laugh at him and say, it all had all these crinkles. It had been folded and opened up so many times. Kincaid, why don't you throw that sack away? And then one day he went down and bought a 1983 Buick cash. And he drove it out to work. And the guy saw it and said, hey, money bags. He said, if you'd save your paper, you'd be able to, too. Now, my daddy was a tight guy, but he wasn't tight with us. He really wasn't. He was tight with himself. The prisoners heard them. Somebody ought to hear you. And I know you don't have to have a real soul winner attitude or have a bunch of things. You just need to tell people what happened to you.
Yeah.
You need to tell people that I got changed, man. On the first day of September 1957, I got changed. And I'm still changed. Praise God. And here they are. They're singing. They didn't get a congregation going in the city. In fact, it's a disaster, almost. But they got one in the jail. Why'd you throw us in jail, God? Well, there's a a guy's household, a whole household that needs to be saved. I'm so sorry, God. Why did I trust you? You let me down. You made me go through this pain. And no, they thank God. They sang praises. You know something? That's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
I believe God will be honored more by our thanksgiving and our praises than maybe a whole lot of our Bible study.
Yes.
You think about it. Attitude. These two guys had the right attitude. So many times I don't have the right attitude. I say, why? You ever do that? Why me? No, that shouldn't happen to me. I'm a little spoiled brat. I get everything I want. I got enough money to buy me a candy bar if I want. I don't have to worry about it. And just let my diabetes run. Sang praises. Give thanks. Sang praises. The prisoners heard them. Now that's something else. That isn't a preacher coming into the jail and preaching to them.
Yes, amen.
That's some prisoners that have been beaten, misused, abused, unlawfully, and they're singing and thanking God and singing praises to God. Wow. It's all a difference in the world. It really is. Anyway, there suddenly was an earthquake. Here's one of those great miracles. Now, I don't think if you sing and pray that you'll get this same result. I'm not too sure you'll get that same result. But how about this one? Good night. I love it. I just love the story. I can tell it over and over and over again. A great earthquake. You ever been in an earthquake? I lived in Guatemala 3 years. There were quite a few earthquakes. They have earthquakes down there all the time, sometimes little tremors and sometimes big ones. And I remember when I first got there, I'd never been in an earthquake in my life. I'd never heard one here or up in the country where I lived or anywhere I'd been. And I had put Eddie and Billy, I had a real bad headache. And I said, now, you boys, don't bother me. I'm going to go up and try to get over this headache. Went down and laid down in my bed, and my bed started jumping. And I said, now, Eddie and Billy, quit it. And it kept jumping. Now, they did what I told them to do, or they got in trouble. I went over and got around and looked under that bed, and they weren't there. And I walked over to the window. We were right on a main road with a bus stop there, and there are people hanging on telephone poles. They're out there, they're holding to the telephone pole while the ground is shaking all around them. Woo! That'll knock your confidence a little bit. At any rate, they sang these praises, and they got an earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands loosed. Not just the prison doors flung open. The chains came off their hands. The chains came off their legs. All the prisoners, not just Paul and Silas, all the prisoners are open and free. And the old jailer, he knew what he was talking about. He's ready to kill himself. Because they would have tortured him, they would have beat him, they would have done I don't know what all to him. They weren't really nice to all of their subjects in those days. Yeah, even if you don't like the president, even if you don't like the stupid things that are going on in your government, you sure got it better than they had it. Give thanks. Walk around with a thankful heart instead of a complaining heart. Anyway, the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. What kind of a jail is it where the doors get open and nobody runs? You got another thing here. Nobody's running. Nobody's run out the doors. He hadn't lost a single prisoner, not even the fleet-footed ones. Yeah. He said, oh man, they're going to torture me. And he was ready to kill himself. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. Fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out. You know what his first sentence to them is? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Woo! How would I like somebody to ask that of me? It's been a while since I've had a real lively convert. It's been a while since I've seen somebody really seeking the Lord. I've seen people seeking a lot of things, but not like this. This guy must have heard what they were in for. And evidently it didn't seem like that he heard their singing and praying, because he was asleep when this happened. But at any rate, the prisoners heard him. But this guy comes in here, and Paul tells him, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And that's a strange, strange thing. He said, what must I do to be saved? Now, that is an intelligent question. You ever think about it? There are a lot of people that don't think about it. There are a lot of people you can talk to, they're not interested. If it's out of the Bible, they're not interested. If it's from a church, they're not interested. If it's from some religious person who thinks he's better than them, they're not interested. But this guy's interested. He's seen something happen, and he said, wow, something unusual has taken place. And so he says, what must I do to be saved? And they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that simple? What do you got to believe? Well, you got to believe you're a sinner. You got to believe you need a Savior. You got to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, dying for your sin. He paid your debt. He died for you. Just John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So you'd be saved. It's really simple. I don't think you need to have a whole lot of doctrine behind you to be saved. I really don't. I think you get saved by an act of the will. Your soul responds to the Spirit of God. You let him in and you say, yes, I believe. It was that quick with me. It really was. I prayed and repented for several hours, but coming out and knowing that I was saved, wow, one night. And nobody's been able to knock that out of me yet. So, what must I do to be saved? Wow. How I knocked on doors. I don't walk as much as I used to, and so I don't go up and down the streets all around here. But I have gone knocking on doors, and people would just refuse to take the track, refuse to do things, and I would think, if they only knew what I could tell them. If they would only listen to me, I could tell them the most important thing of their entire life. Amen. Getting saved. You want to go to hell or heaven? I had a college teacher that was messing with us fundamentalists, and when I was in college, and he said, you fundamentalists, you tell them, either come up and eat God's pie in the sky or go to hell and burn forever. What kind of a choice is that? And so I just asked him, I said, Dr. So-and-so, what other choice does the Bible give us? He didn't have an answer. There is no other choice. When it's all pushed down, if you believe the Bible, now if you don't believe the Bible, you've got 1,000 choices. None of them are worth anything, but you got 1,000 choices. But if you believe the Bible, we're going to go two places, heaven or hell. Most people think this is the common knowledge of this world. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Just not so. Some of the worst people in the world are going to heaven.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Because Jesus paid their debt.
Amen.
Some of you have done some things. Don't confess them to me. I don't need to hear them. But some of you have done some things that you are still ashamed of. But Jesus paid your debts.
Amen.
Wow. Something else. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is a strong phrase. Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
It's a final act. It's a completed action. It's something that changed your situation. May not have changed your personality. You may still be as unlikable as you were before. But it changed your eternity. It changed your lordship here. Now, a lot of times I have a little problem when I'm visiting with some Christians because their life and their language doesn't act like a Christian, doesn't act like they've been saved, doesn't act like they've been changed at all. I hope you're not one of them. But we got a bunch of them up here in Christianity over here. Doesn't cost you anything to be a Christian, hardly. And so a lot of people do it, or hold on to Christianity, and then they're holding on to the other side, the world at the same time. And their testimony is really not very good. I hope that's not any of you. But they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and all in his house got saved. And they were baptized. They must have had a place they could go right there in the prison. And what a wonderful thing that is. As far as soul winning, I think the hardest thing to get a person to is to acknowledge that they're a sinner and need a Savior. I think most people think they're just a little bit better than average. And if you're going to weigh it out in the middle, the good go to heaven, the bad go to hell, they're going to just sort of slip into heaven. I believe that's what I hear. And I've heard for years and years and years. It's not true. It is not true. You see, there aren't any good among us. So it's very hard to get a person to believe that they're a sinner. So you go to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All come short of who? Jesus. You don't match up to Jesus. He's the glory of God. He's the righteousness of God. You want to see God? Look at John 14. Look at Jesus. That's what God has revealed to you. He's manifested himself in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells his disciples, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so you want a picture of what God is like? Look at Jesus Christ. He'll tell you what God is like. I had a girl, she was a good teacher. She was one of my student teachers. I had 11 student teachers in my years, and she was one of the best. Sweet girl. But she thought sleeping with a boy on a date was not a sin. And I was trying to convince her she was a sinner. And she didn't admit to being a sinner. And I said, well, what about this? You're going out with guys, and you sleep around with them. That's part of the date. You don't call that sin? No. And see, there's a whole lot of people that don't consider their sin sin. If it's what I want to do, it's not sin. I'm not a sinner. They'll say, I don't get drunk. I never killed anybody. I guess that's a pretty good claim. I never killed anybody. I don't think I ever killed anybody. I killed a few deer and a few rabbits and a few snakes, but I never killed anybody. One of the things that is the hardest thing when you're going to get somebody saved, somebody you're praying for them to get saved, is for them to know they need it. They don't really believe they need it. Other people need it. Yeah, those bad guys you read about hear about on television or read about in the paper, oh boy, they really need to get saved. But I don't need it. I don't do things like that. They lie and steal and commit adultery, lust, and try reading the Bible and not finding sin. You say, we want to go to church and have us a nice, sweet message on the love of God. You ever read the Bible? You ever just read the New Testament? You ever just read the epistles? There's a whole lot of sin in there. There's a whole lot of do. You don't like the do. Oh, God's going to give me. Oh, God's got to give me. Yeah, you lazy twerp. God says, do. And don't tell me you don't understand the Bible. Oh, the Bible is so big you can't understand it. It's got a lot of one and two syllable words in there. And it's not a problem of you not understanding it. It's a problem of you not liking it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And that's the way the world out there is. They've heard enough religion. And heaven help us. We've got so much religion out here. I can't even imagine some of the things people believe. They're just stupid to me. The gospel seems smart. What I read in this Bible, this New Testament, about being saved by Jesus paying my debt and transferring His righteousness over to me.
Amen.
That was one of the greatest loads off my back. I remember the day when I recognized my sins were gone. I didn't know a whole lot about it. When you're dealing with someone, they have to know they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And most people don't think, they think they're good enough. How do you compare yourself with your brothers and sisters or the people on the same block as you, or the people that you go to school with, or people you work with? Are you a whole lot better than them? Do you talk better? I hear Christians every once in a while and they're just cussing. I hear this, oh my God, OMG. You know what you're doing? You're taking God's name in vain. You're not thinking about God. It's just a phrase that you use as a byword.
Right.
Did you know God says He'll hold you accountable for that?
Right. Uh-huh.
And the people that you're witnessing to, they're a whole lot worse than that. What is your problem? Getting them lost. You find a man that's really lost, you might have an opportunity to give him the gospel. You might have an opportunity to get him saved. But if you can't get him lost, you're not going to go anywhere. You might get him to go to your church for some certain thing that you've got. But here was a man that was convinced he was a sinner. No telling what that jailer had seen, what he had gone through. Maybe by direct command, the things he'd done to people over his years of being a jailer. And then thinking of these people here, these two men, he might have been the one that had to beat them. Give them their 39 lashes or whatever with a cattail. He knew he was a sinner. Now, I don't know exactly why or how, but he knew he was a sinner. And that's the key. People that know they're sinners, if they'll believe in Jesus Christ, they can get saved. But people who are just as good as everybody else and don't talk down to me, they don't get saved. Well, I love it. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Amen. God bless you.